You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13. The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour One Podcast.
And we say hello to you on the day after Thanksgiving. We hope you had a great Thanksgiving, but we have a lot to do today. So let's not waste any time getting to some of the headlines and then a number of guests from all the different places around the SEC. Well, look what's happening with Vanderbilt. Yes, she is going to play. We talked about this the other day. The first female kicker will be in uniform tomorrow, and Sarah Fuller, in a Power 5 uniform, I should say, Sarah Fuller tweeting, "Let's make history. Hashtag play like a girl. Hashtag anchor down." I think it's amazing and incredible, she puts on Twitter, but I'm also trying to separate that because I know this is a job I need to do, and I want to help the team out. I want to do the best that I can. Placing that historical aspect aside just helps me focus on what I need to do. More headlines. And the Egg Bowl. Clarion Ledger writing, "Does Ole Miss deserve to be a big favorite?" Well, Vegas makes the line, so I guess they do. Egg Bowl on a Saturday this year. A lot of points coming from one side, some anemic numbers on the other. Ole Miss is the favorite, in case you couldn't figure that out. Meanwhile, Shane Beamer used to work at South Carolina, and there are a lot of people that would like to see him work there again as the head coach. A lot of former players are pushing him. According to a report, he is set to interview. Bama LSU will be played next weekend. Remember, that game was scrubbed a couple of weeks ago due to COVID. People were wondering where would it end up. The official announcement has not been made because Alabama has not clinched the West yet. Once they do Saturday, assuming they win, then you can repurpose the season. Until then, you can't do anything. And Nick Saban is out, as we told you Wednesday. He's out of the Iron Bowl. But the game will go on. And Joe Goodman, who has written a lot about that this week for AL.com, joins us from Alabama. Joe, it's always a pleasure to have you on. And take us through the last couple of days in Alabama. It has been a whirlwind.
Absolutely. What a wild week. This is always the craziest week of the year in Alabama, with the Iron Bowl and Thanksgiving. And then when the news broke that Nick Saban had tested positive for COVID-19, that just, to me, that just hit the crescendo of crazy right there. And it's going to be an incredible weekend, and the game is going to go on. Hopefully they'll have a camera in there so we can see Nick Saban's reaction during the game.
Yeah, I'm curious about that, Joe, because so many people have asked, and I've tried to explain, although I don't think I've given a satisfactory explanation, why can't Nick Saban be in communication with his team during the game?
It's an NCAA rule that they laid out at the beginning of the season. I don't really understand it either. I don't know why coaches aren't allowed to talk with their teams during the game. It seems a little ridiculous to me. They're the coaches of the team. These are extraordinary circumstances, but those are the rules the NCAA and every team has been following them throughout the season.
And I guess, is there someone that will be monitoring his Wi-Fi to make sure that he doesn't?
Yeah, I think they have protocols in place. I'm not sure exactly. You know, you would think that there would be ways around that. You know, often during basketball games, coaches get teed up. They can still communicate with their team. This is obviously a different situation. I don't know if they got the you know, the Wi-Fi net around the house or what, but I'm sure if someone could find a way to communicate with his team somehow, maybe try to find that loophole in the rules.
Joe, let me ask you about this game, though, because I know what the line is. It's nearly 3.5 touchdowns. I also know what the cliches are, as you do, living in Alabama, about anything can happen in this game, although that's not really the way it normally goes. How do you see this game in terms of what happens on the field?
If Jalen Waddle had been healthy and in this game, I think we're talking about, for sure, an Alabama blowout. He just added that element to the offense for Alabama that made them unstoppable. I think Alabama's offense is still incredible, but I don't think people are giving Auburn enough credit. They started the year off pretty rough because their line had to be quarantined early and they didn't have time to gel. But as the season's gone along and Bisbee has emerged, Auburn is a good and. You know, I'm not taking anything away from Alabama, but you have to look who they're playing. And Auburn is a great team. Gus Malzahn is an excellent coach. He's won two of the last three against Alabama. No one can say that. And Nick Saban is only, I think, 8-5 all time against Auburn. So the line to me is a bit inflated because you're always going to give Alabama 4-5 points just because of the Alabama factor. But I think Auburn's going to have a good shot in this game. If Tank Bigsby is healthy, if the offensive line is healthy, the left tackle.
Joe Goodman with us for a few more minutes. Joe, we've talked countless times during the lead up to the college season and since then about the issues that everyone is facing. Now that we're nearing the end of November, heading into December, a couple of weeks remaining, there are doubts about the finish line. Every week, more games are being canceled. I'm really interested in your perspective on where we are and what's left ahead.
It blows my mind that you could have a situation where Greg Sankey could come out on a Friday before the Iron Bowl and say, LSU, you're going to have to play Alabama next week, and then you're going to have to turn around and you're going to have to play Florida. And we're going to make it to the finish line just because they're going to try everything in their power to make this happen. But it will be a wild ending to a wild season.
Joe Goodman joining us about the weekend and what's ahead. Joe, it's always a pleasure to have you on. Thank you for making the time.
All right. Happy Thanksgiving, Paul. Thanks.
Happy Thanksgiving to you, Joe, and we appreciate it, and always good to catch up. So Joe's the first guest, but by no means will he be the last. We are jam-packed. Buddy Martin will join us next to react to what Mike Griffith said the other day. Taylor Davis on the sidelines for now the historic Vanderbilt-Missouri game. Orlovsky will join us in about a half hour. He's doing LSU and A&M. That's only the first hour of the show. Kublik from the Egg Bowl. The two guys that cover those teams, Tyler and Nick, will join us together to talk about what's at stake in the matchup of the two first-year head coaches. Joe Scarborough, Alabama undergraduate, Florida law school graduate. He's got a new book out, and we will talk to Joe about college football and a little bit of politics. Alyssa Lang, she's on the sidelines for Georgia and South Carolina, and Doring in the final hour. On the look ahead to the weekend. And your phone calls, of course, at 855-242-7285. Buddy Martin will join us next. We'll get his take on the Kyle Trask for Heisman conversation, or maybe I should say Kyle being trashed by our guest on Wednesday night. All of that coming up next.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Trask is gone, but you know he could win the Heisman. Georgia, Florida has a shot. Mm-hmm. At the SEC championship and the national championship. I seem like I ask you this every week, but it just, you know, seems like maybe things are changing a little bit in the East. I know they've changed for the championship game, but what's the level of concern that maybe Georgia did miss its window here?
I don't know. Did they look like they changed in the first quarter against Vanderbilt when they shut down Trask? I don't know. Listen, the Trask Heisman talk, it's cute. But you get this guy moving and pressured and he folds. He's not Joe Burrow. The comparisons are driving me nuts. I'm like, listen, Joe Burrow, Paul, was Johnny Manziel with a brain, okay? Joe Burrow was a playmaker. Joe Burrow was a legacy player. Kyle Trask, you know, he can stand there and hit 100 Papa shots in a row if he doesn't move his feet. But you get this guy moving and he's not the Heisman winner. He's not Joe Burrow. I don't see that. I didn't see him score a touchdown on Georgia in the entire second half against a Georgia defense that, you know, gave up, I don't know what, 150 yards on the wheel route in the first half. I just don't see it.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-hour energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5hourenergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5hourenergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
On Wednesday, I realized some of you may have been traveling or cooking or shopping or whatever, but he stirred up quite a reaction around our fan base, and we've decided to bring in Buddy Martin, publisher of GatorBait, a longtime journalist, many times sports editor in various parts of the country, to react. Buddy, good to have you on. Thank you very much. And we've been communicating privately, but I want to get your reaction to what Griff had to say on the program. Good day.
Hello, Paul. Thanks for having me back on. It's been a while. I appreciate it very much. And we haven't got enough time for me to go over the levels of how badly he was wrong, but that's okay. I respect Mike. He's a hardworking guy. He does a good job on your show because he stirs up people, gets under their skin a lot. And he's a good reporter, and he's a better reporter than he showed there because he just was flat wrong on a number of things. I realize I don't bat 1,000, Paul. I get that. I make my fair amount of mistakes and misstatements or whatever. But I don't think I'll flatly go and attack somebody and then put down things that are just absolutely wrong. And I'm not sure what Mike's agenda was other than to piss off, excuse my French, Gator fans. But he did that. My Twitter account blew up. And I had to send that tweet in because after listening to him and festering up and listen to the comments he made about how cute this campaign was. First of all, there's no campaign. And secondly, Papa shots, and he can't move. He's been watching the wrong channel. He hasn't been seeing the Kyle Trask that we've been seeing down here. And I know a certain amount of it accounts for homerism and people that I follow the Gators. I run a site called Gator Bait and what have you. But I think I have a modicum of objectivity left as a journalist. I would never, ever, number one, build a guy up who really wasn't worth it. And secondly, I would never attack somebody without my facts.
And I want to ask you about that because after he said what he did, Greg McElroy came on and just flat out called him a fanboy and wondered whether he should even vote in the Heisman. And Buddy, I bring this up because you're not just a publisher of GatorBait. I mean, you are an accomplished journalist. You were the sports editor of the New York Daily News. You were the sports editor in Denver. I mean, you have certainly earned your chops in sports journalism. And I know that in today's era, a lot of people tend to maybe tilt a little bit more toward the team that they cover. But I would like to ask you about that because there was a time when you would have a hard time getting any of that past Buddy Martin as a sports editor.
Well, I mean, I take pride in the fact that over the years, I've been voting, by the way, for the Heisman since before Mike was born, and I've done it over, I don't know, off and on over maybe 50 years, and it doesn't make me any smarter. But I went back and looked and thought, I think I might have voted for four number one, Gators number one in the Heisman. The three that won it and Rex Grossman, who should have won it. I don't believe I voted for a Gator to be now. I've given them third place votes when I thought they were worth it. So I take a lot of pride in semi-objectivity. And I'm not sure what Mike's agenda was. I had the video. I've watched it a couple of times. But to say that this guy who has been spectacular is fourth or fifth. Paul, I went back and talked to some experts. All right. This isn't my opinion. These are analysis of people like Terry Bradshaw, who watched him closely. Urban Meyer, who did not say he was an elite quarterback yet, but he's on his way toward it, and said he has certainly crossed the threshold in the Georgia game. I've talked to people like Shane Matthews, who was a pretty good player. Anyway, Steve Spurrier. I think these people are pretty sound in their judgment of players, and I don't think anybody expected last year that we'd be in a position of talking about Kyle Trask as the Heisman Trophy winner. I'm sure that Kyle Trask didn't think that. But it is what it is, Paul. When you sit there and don't look at the numbers, and he didn't want me to mention numbers. I don't like to do numbers, but I can start with 31 touchdown passes this year so far, the records he set. And I went back and looked at some Georgia quarterbacks, too, to be sure. I can tell you that by comparison, Georgia quarterbacks are a distant second or third to what Florida quarterbacks are. I'm not disrespecting the great quarterbacks like Aaron Murray, Matt Stafford, etc. But no Georgia quarterback has had an efficiency rating within 20 points of Trask in the last 10 years. Okay, so let's go start with that. And then we can talk about the winning part. But anyway, I know it sounds like a phone refute. I'm glad I'm not going head-to-head with Mike because I'm sure I wouldn't measure up. But I've got enough people telling me this guy's a real deal, and I've got a guy who's a former SEC wide receiver, NFL player, a coach. His son is all SEC receiver, who's been telling me in my ear for over 2 years. That's Lee McGriff, now the Gator Radio Network. And it's not just because he's a broadcaster. He's been telling me since the days of Felipe Franks, the right guy is Kyle Trask. And boy, would I love to catch a ball that he threw. And so I've been having that going on. So it's legitimate. It's earned. He might not win the Heisman. He might not win the SEC. But now it's like an agenda. He's got to beat Alabama, they say, to win the Heisman Trophy. I don't know. Maybe that's a tall order. But nonetheless, I don't think Kyle Trask needs me to defend him.
Well, my biggest objection to what Mike said was the fact that he was talking about his pro prospects. Buddy, you've been voting for the Heisman for decades now. You're not voting on who's going to be the best pro player. No. You're voting on the most outstanding player in college. I wish people would understand that.
Please. I'm glad you brought that up. There's three statues out front of Ben Hill Griffin, Steve Spurrier, Florida Field. And they're all three guys who were wonderful college players, and none of them played well in the NFL. Spurrier had a long career, but, I mean, let's be honest about it. One doesn't equate the other. You're absolutely right. I wish you would. But having said that, Paul, what do we use? If you want to go talk to scouts and you want to look at let's look at Las Vegas. Las Vegas says right now the guy who's most likely to win the Heisman is Kyle Trask, right? Any measure, I mean, scouts, mock drafts, I've been reading him a lot in the last 2 weeks. Even the mock drafts are putting him, Trask, in the top 15. I don't know where he'll go. I'm not sure he'll be a first rounder. I can't say that yet. I just know by any measure, if you can't look at a guy and watch him play and see him throw 31 touchdown passes, obliterating all the records, at least in the SEC, and now he could have gotten more last week if his coach would have chosen. If you can't look at him and see, and forget the idea that he can't roll out, he can move and throw the ball. And for a big guy especially, now he's not going to be twinkle toes, but he can move around. And that's just, obviously, I think my friend Mike has been watching the wrong video.
Well, it's great to have you on the program, and we're not trying to create anything other than some healthy conversation. And And you have certainly responded eloquently to what Griff said here the other day. Buddy, thanks for coming on. We will talk to you very soon. Gators have quite a few important games remaining, and we will be in touch. Be well.
Thanks for having me on. Next time I'll tell you about Kirby Smart and Mark Richt and the comparison there. That's something else.
Can't wait to hear that. Thanks, Buddy Martin, who told us a long time ago that the two ships may be passing in the night, and they did a couple of weeks ago. Well, we have a lot to do. We mentioned the big story at Vanderbilt. We'll get into that in a couple of minutes. Many, many guests. We are just jam-packed. But Taylor Davis will join us next.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And we welcome you back. And we've certainly been following the news of the day, of the news of the week, since earlier this week when Simon Gibbs was with us about what could happen for Vanderbilt. And we're delighted to welcome to the program Taylor Davis, who will be covering the game tomorrow with Vanderbilt. Taylor, thank you very much. I know this is certainly breaking late today, but I have a feeling in the broadcast tomorrow, having a female kicker for the first time suited up in Power 5 is going to grab a lot of attention. Good afternoon. Thanks for coming back, and tell us what you know.
Hey, Paul. Thanks for having me. Like you said, it's certainly an exciting potential storyline to add into this one. We had heard rumblings of it throughout the week that Coach Mason had been in contact with soccer coach Darren Ambrose about the potential of Sarah Fuller joining, and then the news came out today that she would in fact be traveling with the team and dress out, and she will be available for them as an option on special teams. And obviously, you know, it's monumental, it's historic, and it's certainly something that this Vandy program is very proud to potentially see come to fruition.
Yeah, I mean, it has been a painfully difficult year for Vanderbilt, so I don't think it's difficult or challenging to say this is the most positive thing we've seen yet. I'm curious, you know, we know she's suiting up. Do we know anything else?
You're not wrong about that, Paul. It has been a difficult season for the Doors, and I think that this gives them the ability to shed some light on something positive. You're absolutely right. And Coach Mason told us today, you know, along with her officially dressing and being an option for them, he has been watching her kick this week. He said she has a very strong leg, and she will be one of three options for them. They're going to see how warm-ups go tomorrow and how everything goes. He said we'll all have to watch and see, and he'll probably make a game-time decision when it comes to who's going to be kicking for the Doors.
Yeah, I mean, she's coming off, as we all know, you know, the SEC winning women's soccer. And it's hard, I think, for some people, and I'll include myself, to maybe quite understand this. It's been tried before. There has always been a lot of resistance. Taylor, you're certainly you know, more of the generation that Sarah is than we are, at least me, I should say. I'm curious, just you know, covering something like this, describe, I mean, it is history, regardless of anyone's view. What does it feel like to you to be part of something that will be remembered, assuming she plays, for a very long time?
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free, no insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/paul. That's hims.com/paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Absolutely. It's a milestone, you know, and I think that when you looked at how this game kind of came to be in the past, what, 5 days, this week was very reminiscent of how 2020 has been as a whole. So many moving pieces. And, of course, for rivalry week, you know, this matchup isn't what either of these teams were gearing up for emotionally, game plan wise. So there were so many moving pieces. But when you add in something like this that's almost bigger than football and it represents so much, I think it allows the game to have a bit more gravitas and a bit more meaning on something that we don't ordinarily get to see. And honestly, it's been a resounding support, especially when we spoke to Derek Mason. He said that she is a champ. He's been calling her champ, obviously coming off an SEC title, but he also said that she didn't even hesitate when the opportunity came to her. She wasn't intimidated by the stage, and she's been out there doing everything that's been requested of her. So it's really an inspiring story. I'm excited for the opportunity as a sideline reporter to be out there covering such a historic moment. I hope we get the opportunity to see her play, but regardless, just to see her on a stage like this in this opportunity is special for everyone.
Yeah, and let's be honest. I mean, this is not a game that otherwise would probably have gotten much national attention. I think I'm fair in saying that. But I mean, I'm feeling it from here, and I know you're going to be sensing it even more. Assuming that she does get in, and let's all hope she does, the pressure on her, I think, is going to be pretty intense, is it not?
Okay, Paul, I thought the exact same thing. I have so much respect for this girl, assuming she's going to get the opportunity to go out there. And she's already achieved so much in her soccer career, but she's been honest about the fact that this is football, and this is a whole new experience, and she knows what's coming along with this. But from everything that I've heard and everyone that I've spoke to within the program, she's a competitor by nature. And even in some interviews that she's done, she's saying, you know, I'm so grateful to be kind of a pioneer in this regard, and I'm going to use this opportunity to encourage females to pursue athletics. But I also need to be what the team needs. You know, this isn't just about me. I want to help this team. I want to, you know, take this opportunity to its absolute fullest. And so I think there's so many levels to this one, and obviously so much respect to Sarah Fuller, to the program for giving her this opportunity. But we'd be lying, Paul, if we said that there aren't some nerves associated with this one. But like we said, the girl's a champ, and I'm sure she can handle those nerves well.
Yeah, I mean, I'm nervous, and I'm just going to be watching. Well, Taylor, what a great opportunity is for you. I know you've had a great year covering a lot of big games, and you've done an exemplary job. And I have a feeling a lot of eyes will be on your coverage tomorrow. Make the best out of it, and enjoy it, and we can't wait to see it. Thanks for making time to come on.
Thank you so much, Paul. Appreciate it. Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving. Taylor Davis, done an outstanding job reporting. Meanwhile, a couple of things to update. Dicker, one of my favorite kicker names, has just missed from 57 yards out. And Iowa State has beaten Texas in Austin. Third loss of the year for Tom Herman. And he's pulled out one or two he probably shouldn't have. And you have to wonder about the drumbeat of his career days in Austin. Another, it's not over yet, but it certainly seems like another disappointing end for him. Meanwhile, some games have been moved around as predicted. It's now been made official that Alabama LSU on the 5th will be played in Baton Rouge, and fans take note, it will be a 7 p.m. Central Time kick. That game will be on CBS, so the game will be back in prime time. And Alabama, short of crashing and burning tomorrow in Tiger Stadium, will be the favorite. So this is the change, if we can share with you now. And this was expected. We have Alabama LSU next week. This is one of the better weekends of the year. We have Alabama LSU next week, A&M at Auburn. That's a huge game for A&M. In Florida and Tennessee, it's hard to get a better lineup. Vandy in Georgia, Arkansas, Missouri, South Carolina, and Kentucky. And what this means is that Alabama will play Arkansas the following week. Ole Miss and LSU will either be played one of those two. What this now means also is that the 19th, the day of the championship game in Atlanta, will be filled with many, many SEC games. Originally, the previous week, the 12th, had been the insurance weekend, where if something got canceled, remember there were two byes this year, so we thought we would get it in. We didn't realize what was going to happen down the stretch. So you're going to, any game that doesn't get played on the 5th or the 12th will get pushed, and because of Alabama and Florida likely being the combatants, a lot of rearranging was done. Let's take a break. More to come on the program. More of your, well, I say more of your phone calls. I'm not sure we've had a chance to get one yet. I do apologize. We are normally pretty savvy on that. But Dan Orlowski will join us next. He's covering the A&M LSU game, and we are coming right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And we welcome you back. And there is yet more breaking news on COVID. The head coach of the number 4 team in the country, Ryan Day, has tested positive for COVID, and he will miss tomorrow's game with Illinois. That means the coach of the number 1 and 4 team are both out. I believe that is 19 FBS coaches who have publicly announced testing positive for COVID. Dan Orlowski joining us. He is certainly no stranger here and will be part of the broadcast team for LSU and A&M. Dan, thank you very much for making time. It's been a while since we've had a chance to talk. And before we get to the game,
good to be with you, Paul. Hope you had a good Thanksgiving, man. Hope you're well.
We did. Thank you, Dan. I'm curious your reaction now. You know, Ryan Day, and now on top of Nick Saban, we're talking about quite an impact on the college football season. The good news is the game will go on in both places, but the bad news, the two prominent coaches, two of the best in the country, are out for this weekend at least.
Yeah, I mean, and I think everyone's reaction a lot of times when this happens to the best coaches for the best teams in college football is, well, they'll be okay, right? Like, their teams will be fine and they'll win the game, and I just think that it's not this year to say that, because we always have to remember that these are 18 to 22-year-olds dealing with a lot of different things going on. And now that their leader and their head coach, and especially for Ohio State, you know, my biggest thing is, well, who's going to call the plays? You know, Ryan Day calls his own plays as the head coach. And so the more challenges, or there's just another challenge that gets thrown onto the young men that are playing college football, and for both Alabama and for Ohio State, it's a big one. I don't care who the opponent is. I know it's the Iron Bowl for Bama and Illinois for Ohio State, but just how their young student-athletes, their young men, just continue to have to deal with some of the stuff that gets thrown at them is a lot to handle.
And, Dan, as a quarterback, you understand the relationship between a coordinator and the head coach very well. Explain to the rest of us who just love college football and watch at the end of the bar, what does the absence of the head coach mean? You already alluded to his play calling, but that's not the only thing.
Yeah, I mean, it's the person that sets the tempo for the day, first of all. You know, it's the guy that gives you the very clear vision and very clear message of what the goal is and how you go accomplish that goal. And I think Ryan Day is, and Nick Saban are both like this, where they make sure that their young men have a very clear vision, you know, leading into kickoff of how to go accomplish that. And then, you know, once you get into the game, you know, football is a moving game. It's a moving sport. And, you know, you can go in with a very certain, you know, plan, but then that plan can get thrown into the wayside very quickly. And so, you know, what does the head coach say on the sideline? How does he adjust? What's the message getting across? And this is a constant target. This isn't, you know, once a quarter. I mean, this is a ever-revolving thing where Ryan Day's talking to his defensive coordinator and his offensive coordinator, and those guys are relaying messages to their players. And just once you get into the real kind of dirty moments of games of, you know, especially with a place like Ohio State and Ryan Day, hey, coach, you know, I'm seeing this on the field. We've got to try something to help our offense play a little bit better. Or, hey, Justin, you know, I know the defense is doing this now. We didn't anticipate that. What's the adjustment? And so I think that's really where it happens is, like, those coaches are always anticipating where the target's going to be and moving towards it and then getting their players to follow. And without them, you just never know how quickly you can get lost in a football game.
Dan Orlovsky joining us, part of the call tomorrow night. Dan, let's switch to the game. And, you know, it's just amazing. I'm sure you have observed how different this LSU team looks. But we already know that. I'm really curious about, you know, the difference that you have seen with Kellen Mond and the Texas A&M Aggies.
Yeah, I think this is a huge 2 weeks for Texas A&M. You know, because you're playing LSU this week, and then I believe LSU just got rescheduled to play Bama next week.
Correct.
And with the ranking coming out this week, I think that for A&M, they got to play like they're the number one team in the country to get in. I know they need help, but they can only control what they can control. And they've got to have the mindset to try to handle and in many ways, you know, embarrass LSU this weekend, because style points are going to be huge for Texas A&M. I think the biggest thing with this football team is the offensive and defensive lines are absolutely fantastic. I think it's the best defensive line in the SEC, at least the one that I've seen on tape. I think it's the best offensive line in the SEC, at least the ones that I've seen on tape. And then for Kellen Mond, I think that the great thing about Kellen Mond and Texas A&M's offense is they are always in attack mode. And people might think that means throw the football downfield. And, Paul, I don't mean that. I think that Jimbo teaches at such a ridiculously high intellectual level where, you know, a 4 or 5 yard run becomes an attack for this offensive line because they're never in bad plays. This offense is never hurt by its quarterback. Kellen Mond controls the game. He controls the line of scrimmage. They're always in advantageous plays, not necessarily just getting out of bad ones, but they're into really healthy ones. That's why they control tempo. They're great on third down. They're the best third down offense in college football. They haven't given up a sack in 5 games. They haven't given up a tackle for loss in 4 games. And so you're just seeing a guy who's played a ton of snaps, really just control the football game at the line of scrimmage.
Dan, before you go, about a minute and a half left, I'm curious your thoughts on LSU because, you know, you talk about a schedule. They have this game tomorrow, and then they host Alabama next week. That's 2 of the top 5 teams in the country. This team has been pretty shaky to watch. They've had a good outing or two, but not many, and that outing at Auburn was downright scary.
Yeah, you know, that outing at Auburn, talking with Entsminger, their offensive coordinator, he said T.J. played so well. T.J. Finley, their freshman quarterback, played so well against South Carolina. They were like, well, let's just give him everything. And they realized that he's just not ready to handle all that stuff. He still has only not played 180 snaps in college football. So, you know, offensively, I think that they're going to throw the ball a ton on Saturday night, or at least I would. I wouldn't try to run the ball against A&M. And obviously Marshall and Gilbert are spectacular players, and I think T.J. Finley's capable of going and being really, really good. They're building for the future. I mean, they got 14 guys in the NFL, 10 starting on Sunday. So, you know, I think that their offense can hang a little bit, and their defense has players, at least talented enough in the SEC. They just make the same consistent immature mistakes over and over and over. Bad eyes, bad leverage, poor man-to-man coverage with what you're supposed to do. So if they can minimize the 5 to 6 of those a game, they'll play a lot better. But up until this point, they haven't.
Dan, many thanks. We'll be watching tomorrow. Always great to connect. Thanks for making time.
You got it, bud. Take care. Thank you.
Dan Orlovsky on the call tomorrow night. Again, the news of this hour, Ryan Day testing positive. He'll miss the game against Illinois tomorrow. We'll be back. That's only 1 hour. 3 more to go.